When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Cowboy!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I think Angel Hernandez should have announced he's retiring, where he would show up in every stadium.
Love it.
And somebody would give him a gift.
Yeah.
You know?
We're behind this.
Free LASIK.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis. YES Network Yankees broadcaster Michael Kay, CEO and general manager of All Elite Wrestling, Tony Khan. And now, it's Rich
Eisen. That's right. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku channel, which is free on every Roku device known to man. It is also a great way for you to just have fun at home with your family. Just check everything out, anything you want, sitting right there on your Roku device, especially this program. We also are thrilled to be on this terrestrial radio affiliate, smart enough to have a SiriusXM Odyssey. Our podcast listeners, we say a good Wednesday to you, or wherever you're listening to this Wednesday show. That's your right to listen to us on demand. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on this program. We've got two cars on the move headed to this studio. Two cars. One from Southern California. Michael Kay, the voice of the New York Yankees. He called the Angels comeback win on the Yankees last night, late in the eighth inning. They put up a two spot and beat the Yankees last night. Michael is on his way to this studio to hang with us in hour number two. I've known this man since the mid 90s. It's going to be a fun chat when Michael stops by. Also, another car on the move, the CEO, general manager, and head of the creative unit of AEW Wrestling. And a man who's about to pay off what he's owed this this chair, if you will, in support of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Tony Khan is on his way, apparently, with the neck brace that he wore during the draft that he said he would sign for charity for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. That's Tony Khan is on his way with his head, with his neck brace on the way to the studio. And, of course, as we all know, he is the chief football strategy officer of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And there's Tony up on the screen right there with his dad behind him during the draft. Doug Peterson just off camera. Peterson. Lots going on with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we'll talk about it with Tony Khan. That's it. I want to introduce to you the new, for at least two more games of the Western Conference Finals, if necessary, the new Rich Eisen Show fan of the Minnesota Timberwolves, Chris Brockman, everybody. Can't root for the Timberwolves enough.
Keep going. Win games.
Keep extending the series.
Become the fifth team to take it to a game seven.
There you go.
Being down.
That's what he wants to have happen. Because as
the
Celtic fan of the program, that's two more games.
Let's go.
That he wants, which would extend this series four more days.
Yes, come on, you can do it.
Each and every day,
come
the
on,
Celtics.
Ian. Hey, Kat, way to shoot the ball last night.
Kicking
1,500
back.
Shots really paid off last night.
Putting in a cigar.
4 or 5 from 3. You can do it.
Feet up on the
I
desk.
I believe in you. Chris Finch, great job. He stood yesterday.
Like Red Auerbach.
I couldn't believe it.
While he roots for the Timberwolves.
The finals are going to start on the same day.
Not the way it goes.
A-Rod looked great last night.
Don't worry.
I
got something good for you, DJ, as well. First of all, DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts is back from a day off we didn't know he was going to have.
That was a bonus.
What did you do yesterday?
A bonus for who?
I was doing some secret at work.
Secret work?
Double secret probation?
Fox. That's all I could say.
Oh, you God.
In the chip bite?
Oh,
really?
TB12? No, actually, I was doing some graphics work.
Goats were involved?
Graphics
soccer
work.
Stuff that I'm doing this summer.
Graphics work? You're moving into graphics now?
Well, they have sound for graphics, and I had to make sure the sound was functioning for the graphics, the big graphics.
The whooshes?
These are bigger than whooshes. It's like the big. You guys know graphics, but that's where I was. I mean, I'm sorry.
Guys, we know graphics. And the Rich Eisen We know show.
I know sound.
We know graphics.
Okay.
Yeah, we know graphics.
No, but I miss
you
guys.
Good to have you back.
I'm very sad. I told Liz while she was on the boat with me.
Oh.
That was nice.
3 days ago.
That's very nice. Cool. I'm glad that you informed. At least you went through proper protocols.
I did. You see? That's what I
had to do. While on a boat.
Interesting.
TJ Jefferson, I've got something for you.
For me?
I do.
Was an invite to your boat.
This is how we start this program.
TJ.
I just have a shark. Listen. TJ, this is for you.
Just for me.
We're starting the show just for you.
Let's go.
Now, we had on this very program, Dave McMenamin was our first guest yesterday. And I said to him, hey, are you working with the next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers? And I didn't mean Mike Breen or Doris Burke. I meant J.J. Redick.
That would be something.
Because J.J. Redick is calling the action of the NBA Finals for ESPN and NBA on ABC and all that stuff. And, you know, the Lakers fired their coach after getting bounced from the playoffs. And then, you know, haven't hired anybody. The Suns have since fired their coach after getting bounced from the playoffs. And I've already hired somebody. Mm-hmm. That's the way it would go. The Cavs have an opening, right, as well. And Lakers have not filled that opening. And as long as it goes, it seems like maybe they're waiting for J.J. Redick. Because they're not going to name him, and he'll be the next head coach of the Lakers calling the NBA Finals. That would be what we'd call awkward, even though this may be awkward already. But this is my long wind-up to say he mentioned a couple other names and said that until Ty Lue signs a contract extension with the Los Angeles Clippers, he will not remove Ty Lue's name from this opening. Because, you know, LeBron won a championship with Ty Lue as his head coach in Cleveland. And, you know, the Lakers could make a big splash, although they don't spend the money on the coaches. I think, what, Phil would be the last coach that they spent a ton of money on, right?
Sure.
That's the last one
for sure.
They paid top of the market, top freight for a head coach. You just don't seem to do that. It's not in their DNA. So, and you'd think the Clippers wouldn't let Ty Lue go. They got that Intuit Dome that they got to open up. By the way, Suze is getting a tour of it today. Remember, she was telling you she was putting on a hard hat and everything.
I was seeing if she could get a plus one and bring me, but I don't guess that.
I don't know. We can check that out. But anyway, congratulations.
Thank you.
Ty Lue has signed his extension.
Nice.
The Los Angeles Clippers, the Woj bomb, literally as we were coming on the air today.
Yes.
A new long-term contract, paying him one of the league's highest-paid coaches. He's entering the final year of his deal, considered one of the NBA's elite coaches. I would agree with that assessment. And that's a lot of bomber bucks.
Yeah, it is.
And you don't want to open a new building with a new coach because your coach left you for your former co-tenant.
That's what
we call bad luck. That's not how you want to say, hey, everybody, buy your new seats at this new Intuit Dome.
That would not be the business, is it?
I can intuit that.
Hey.
You don't want it. Hey, now. I literally just made that up. I am spotting dimes today.
I mean, that's why your name's on the cup.
No numbers yet. I'm curious to see the numbers in this deal.
Well, I'm willing to bet there's two commas, a lot of zeros.
Well, two commas and then a zero on the left side of this first comma.
Just a lot of zeros.
And then three zeros on the left side of the second comma with three zeros behind it. That's a very long-winded way of saying it's going to be at least $10 million bucks a year.
Now, if only we could do something about ligaments and soft tissue.
Well, that's the other issue.
And joints.
That's the other issue.
And curses. Breaking and hands.
Podcast P. You
know, we could do something about that.
And juju.
You know.
Karma.
He's got a good podcast, Paul George.
I wonder if they smudge the Intuit Dome. I think that should be a first order of business. Make sure
how do you smudge something that there's no history to?
That's what you got to do.
It smells like a new car.
You don't know. You know people broke in there and film videos. Got to get all that just bad. We need just
Sebastian Maniscalco is going to open it up. It'll be fine.
Sebastian was on the roof.
Really? Yeah.
Did you see the video?
I think he opens it up.
He's going to open it up.
I think he's one of the how cool.
Sebastian was literally on the roof. Go to his social media. He was on the roof.
I think it's one of them.
We're all talking.
Sorry. Say that again.
Sebastian was on the roof. He posted a video.
Mike was stuck in the graphics department where no one was stopping him. So
Tom Brady's coming to Fox. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, he's the graphics department.
What do you mean
he's working
graphics
on
department?
Soccer noises.
Why
graphics.
Are you lying? Why are you lying? You're doing practice games with Tom Brady. Stop lying.
Not on a Tuesday.
That would be the perfect time to do it.
Exactly.
That is the time to do it. By the way, I know for a fact he's been doing practice games on Tuesdays.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, Mike, you think you're getting over on somebody. What do you mean?
By the way, somebody I know who's sitting right there knows somebody who would know something about Brady because, you know, she made the roast pretty damn funny.
And he lingered really long on a hug, and I was about to step in.
Wow.
Say what? Thank you for all you've done for me?
Hold on a second. Breaking news. Breaking news here. Did you lie to us with this cockamamie graphic?
No. I was 100% on my mother's grave doing graphics.
And I would never do you guys know. Respect Mike. He may have signed one of those NDA type deals that you
I have
did,
not
so
done any of that
tell
stuff.
Us anything.
Trust me.
By the way, it doesn't. I don't understand what's got to be top secret. The guy's of course going to rehearse.
Of course he is. Right. Of course he is.
All right, at any rate, congratulations to Ty Lue.
Yes.
Rich. Now all you got to do is worry about getting your guys healthy. That's correct.
Is Mike saying real quick that he's not on the A team, so you won't be working with Tom Brady? Is that what you're.
I'm on the A team for the UFL right now. That's all I can say.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't do games.
The games
are on the road.
Yeah, I'm not going on the road.
At any rate,
you're killing it, Mike. Great job.
Listen.
Yeah, Rich, I love it, though, man.
Big piece of the puzzle getting done.
It was a little bit of a worry because I didn't think he'd leave, but the Lakers job always kind of looms,
You may exhale, sir. Hey, congratulations to you, Chris. The Celtics are sitting back watching the Mavericks now have to take a flight to Minnesota. And if Minnesota wins another home playoff game, then we're going to a game six. And that's when you go, anything can happen. That's when you start going like this. Then you're like, oh, my God, let's see what happens in game six. And then if it's game seven, well, they got to game seven. They made it happen. Anything can happen. That's the road. That's the world we're on.
Did you see the stat that was Kyrie's first ever loss in a closeout game?
Is that right?
He was somebody dug it up. He was 14-0 in closeout games in the playoffs.
Jeez. Well, you know what? Our guy Kat showed up, didn't he?
He had to, Rich.
Well, he did.
He had to.
Like, got all them shots up. Some finally went in.
Look at this. Much maligned Karl Anthony Towns was just making threes like crazy in the fourth quarter last night. Anthony Edwards made some shots as well down the stretch, played a little bit of defense. Luka had his LJ moment, but couldn't convert the four-point play just at the very end of this game when
I didn't think it could happen. I didn't think Ant touched him on that. That seemed like a phantom foul to me.
I didn't love that.
That was wild. That he threw that. First of all, he got that up and in. And the foul, and then missed the free throw. I guess ball doesn't lie in your scenario. Would have had it to a two-point game
if he made that free throw.
But Karl Anthony Towns got it done. 20 in the second half, 25 overall, made those clutch threes down the stretch, playing some good defense. Rudy Gobert was backing down Luka. I was just saying, shouldn't you just say something in French about you can't guard me or whatever, as he's getting to the line, which is probably just, you know, that wouldn't be a wise use of his energy.
Google Translate. Let me see what that would be.
Make the petite move like he's a little too petite.
Too petite.
You know?
I mean, everyone's petite next to Gobert. I mean, I know. 7'4".
Rich, you said Kat's been much maligned, which he has been. And the thing is, and I wondered about this last night because he has been. I think it's just because he was such a great player. He was the number one draft pick, Chris.
Yep.
The expectations for him coming out of Kentucky were so huge that, like, you know, the Spider-Man thing, with great power comes great responsibility. With that number one pick, like, people expect you to be the man night in and night out. And I think, obviously, that's the reason why people kind of get on him a little bit. But he needed a night like last night.
Well, Karl Anthony Towns wound up last night, as I mentioned, with the 25 points. And Edwards wound up an assist shy of a triple-double, which Luka got anyway. If you told us again that Luka was triple-doubling, that would be, okay, another sweep. And you as a Celtic fan would be, damn it, they have 8 days off. We have nine. It's only a one-day advantage of rest. Now comes at least 3 days advantage of rest. And so we'll see if the Timberwolves can make it a five-day advantage of rest. And the way Anthony Edwards was talking about, Micah Parsons, who was right there in the front row after the game last night, makes you think that Anthony Edwards told the Mavericks locker room attendant, see you later this week.
Tell somebody in the hallway you'll see him for game six. Where does that confidence come from?
What am I supposed to say? I'm supposed to say we're going to lose game five? No, I'm not going to never say that.
Michael Parsons, you know, he was rocking the AE1s, and I told him he wears a size 14. I'll bring back some nice shoes for game six. That's what I told him.
That's great. That's
he's
great.
Got a point. What is he supposed to say?
What is he supposed to say? But he played great, and that's what we needed.
Look
that's
at Micah right there. Look at him. The lion right there with his Mavericks gear on, cheering it on. He's all in. Now that's all in right there.
Trayvon's
he's all in. Yeah, that's Diggs is what Diggs was there too, right?
Nice. I love it when guys from other sports in the city go to the game. I like it. See that in Boston a lot.
I like
it. So I love seeing
that.
Yeah,
and he's not even signed long term.
Yeah, the Kelseys were there.
Yeah. Right.
Mahomes was there in Dallas last
year. Mahomes and Kelsey were there last year.
Well, I mean, they're just scouting so they could figure out if they can play in the NBA.
Right. Or are they going to try to sign Ant to play wideout or something?
I don't know, man. But Anthony Edwards, he's so wildly entertaining. And I definitely want to see this to a game six just to see if we can get to a game seven.
Oh,
that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes.
The team rules right now are 3-0 in closeout games. So
that'd be something.
You never know.
Let's go. More basketball.
Well, definitely better than less because tonight we got nothing.
We got nothing tonight. Baseball. I got some college golf.
Is that right? Are you watching that? And you know
what? Championship golf.
We might get so desperate for live sports that Mike just have to live stream his whooshing of the soccer graphics. What is the noise? What is the noise that's associated? Can you at least mimic the noise?
I cannot make the noise.
What did Tom Brady wear yesterday?
I cannot make the noise. Tom Brady's not doing anything.
What did he wear yesterday?
Negative.
How does his hair look?
Okay.
Come on.
Be honest. I did soccer graphics.
I don't believe you.
Do I need someone to call in and
no,
tell
we don't
the
care.
Scheduling person?
Actually, deep down, we don't care.
Now, you put it on your mom, Mike. That's good enough for me.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I don't lie about that.
Jay Billis is going to join us. He's got some more good Bill Walton stories like the ones that we heard yesterday.
So good.
And
that
also,
was so good yesterday.
Obviously, lots to talk about with him. Bronny James, Rich Paul saying that Bronny is going to be in the draft. He had until midnight last night to declare that he was going to stay in college or stay in the draft. He's staying in the draft. And the question is where does he go? Is he really worthy of the first overall selection in the draft?
Well, definitely not. But if you think that LeBron's coming with him, why wouldn't Atlanta just do it? It's not a good draft anyway.
I don't know, man.
There's
foot 3-inch Euros out there.
Tom Bronny, now you get LeBron, and now you got LeBron, Trae Young, and DeJounte Murray is probably going to get traded, right?
No, I don't know if that's the way you build a roster. And then obviously, the whole business of colleges essentially saying we're going to start paying players, which is something that Jay Billis has been talking about forever. So there's lots to talk about with Jay. Two cars making their way to the set right now. Michael Kay, hopefully, is past Long Beach by now on his way here. We'll hang with him in hour number two. And then Tony Khan and his neck brace making his way here for hour number three. AEW is in, speaking of the Brady Roast, the forum tonight.
Nice.
So 844-204-ERCH is also the number to dial right here on the program. Jay Billis is here when we come back on The Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Kind enough to join us from what appears to be right before a round. I hope it's not in the middle of his round. From what appears to be a very nice locker room at a golf facility. Jay Billis here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Jay? Good to see you.
I'm doing great, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I thought of you. You're one of the first people I thought of after I heard about Bill Walton's passing, and I knew you probably had a bunch of stories. And then I looked at your Instagram at Jay Billis, and I saw all of them. Were you aware of how ill he was, Jay? Was he? Because this one shocked me. I was stunned that he passed.
Yeah, I was aware he wasn't doing well. He hadn't really worked since February, so I knew he was ill. I didn't know the extent of it, and it came as a heartbreaking shock over the weekend to learn that he had passed. But you knew him, Rich. I mean, there was nobody like Bill Walton. And for a guy like me that grew up in Southern California and started playing basketball when Bill was at UCLA, he was my idol and remained so. And then when I got a chance to work with him at ESPN, I mean, it's pretty rare when your idol exceeds your expectation. Should you ever get the opportunity to meet him or her, and Walton exceeded every expectation I could have ever had for a kind, generous, curious, intelligent, just giving of himself human being. I mean, he was just a marvelous human being, and you know, look. Were there times when we all said, man, there's some weird stuff going on with Walt? I mean, a few years ago, during the pandemic, couldn't do the Maui Invitational in Maui, and Walton didn't go to Vegas to do it. And I remember telling him, you know, I'm going to miss you, Bill, but the thing I'm really going to miss is the contact high.
Right? Because he always was that his line that he would say he would never go low because he's always preferred to be high or something like that? Isn't that one of the lines that he would say, Jay?
Well, that's what he said to me in a text message. It was actually a friend of mine named Steve Howard that we went to high school together in Southern California. And Steve's a big Deadhead. So he knew Bill from Dead shows over the last 30 some years. And Steve and I got together and played golf last summer. And we thought, hey, let's send Big Red a video of us, you know, kind of in the golf cart and tell him we're thinking about him. And he texted right back with this thing about, and he called me Jake. He would say, Steve and Jake, my heroes and stuff like that. And he said, Jake talked about going low. I'm more comfortable going high. and then it was like, thank you for my life. You know, all these different things. And including I'm the luckiest guy in the world. But Rich, you know, like he played for John Wooden and revered Coach Wooden. And he obviously knew that I played for Coach K and he loved Coach K. And so he told me one time, he said, Coach K is to you what John Wooden was to me. And then he followed up by saying, but you were not to Coach K what I was to John Wooden.
That's awesome. That's so funny. Oh my gosh. And I remarkably, I didn't put two and two together. You grew up in Southern California and what he means, because I did get a lot of tweets from people about what he meant to Southern California for people in San Diego where he's lived, or here in Los Angeles where he played. And what he meant and how he personified it. And a friend of mine reached out to me today because I had no idea he had some working relationship with Bill over the years. He used the perfect phrase. He said, Bill collected people. That's what he said. Bill collected people. And that one kind of hit me, Jay, when I read that in a text today.
And I think that nails it. One of the things that I think everyone has noticed after Bill's passing in the few days with all the tributes and all the articles and TV appearances and social media posts, they all basically say the same thing. Uncoordinated, they say the same thing, that he never talked about himself unless you prodded him to tell a story and he could make the story about someone else, and was unfailingly generous with his time and made you feel like you were the center of the universe. Because it was always difficult to tell what planet Bill was on. So the universe was a good place to be. But he remembered everything. He always stopped and talked to strangers. You know, just this last year, we toured together the burn site in Maui after those horrific fires. And we were the only ones, some of the only ones allowed in there. We were allowed in before the people of Lahaina that had lost their homes. And it was incredibly moving. And there was a cop that had come up to us and didn't know why we were there. And we explained it to him. The cop couldn't have been nicer. But he basically gave us some advice. He said, you guys shouldn't be here. And he said, it's not safe for us to be here. And I'm not sure you should continue to be here. So we heeded that warning. But some of the cops that were there, they wanted their pictures taken with Walton. Mm-hmm. And he stopped and interacted with them. You would have thought those guys grew up together. He never turned anybody down and always would wrestle a check away from you like he was an MMA fighter, and always paid. But just a generous soul and one of the sweetest human beings I've ever known.
You know, you're one of the latest guests that we've had here to speak so eloquently about their personal relationship with him, but also with a basketball background. Don't talk basketball about him ever. Like, the first conversation you have about him is who he was and how he treated, or a funny story here or that moving story there about humanity and his humanity and the humane nature that he approached others. But he was a brilliant basketball player, Jay. He was one of the best of all time, you know?
It was him and Kareem as the two best college basketball players of all time, and that remains so to this day. Bill Walton was 86-4 as a player at UCLA in 90 games, and he was 30-0, 30-0, 26-4. And his senior year in 1974, I mean, I remember this like it was yesterday. I was a little kid, but they lost a road trip at Oregon and Oregon State, and Sports Illustrated called it the lost weekend. That's how rare it was for them to lose. Digger Phelps ended that 88-game winning streak that year at Notre Dame, and then they lost to NC State in double overtime in the Final Four in Greensboro, North Carolina, which Bill Walton always used to say was the worst day of my life, and talked about so like it was some horrific failure that he only made it to the Final Four his last year. But I'll tell you, the only thing, Rich, that ever annoyed me about Bill, and this is going to sound odd, but I don't think the players of today that were covered by Bill, they knew him as a showman and a character, and they loved him. But I think his showmanship at times and the fact that he never did talk about himself, I'm not sure the players he covered had any idea that he could kick their ass twice every day and three times on Sunday, that how much better he was than any of them could ever hope to be. And I told him that. I go, you never talk about yourself. And that, it really annoys me that these guys have no idea how good you were. And of course, he laughed and shrugged it off and started talking about the Grateful Dead.
I know, exactly right. So in the few minutes I have left with you, Jay Billis here on the Rich Eisen Show, that photograph that my crew, my good guys in the control room put up there, just looking at this here, that photograph of Walton and Wooden, what do you think those guys are talking about today?
They might be talking about the one shot that Walton missed in the 73 title game when he went 21-22 and scored 44 points.
Nice.
Wooden used to rib him about how could you miss that one shot? I used to think you were a good player, that kind of thing. But I'm not sure that any player has revered his coach as much as Walton revered Wooden. And I know they butted heads over things at times, including how long Bill wanted to wear his hair and things like that. But the fact that those two remained close until Wooden's passing, And Bill spoke so eloquently and reverently. He was always referencing Wooden and his teammates. I think that was true of his time in Portland, in Boston. It was never about Bill. And go back to it, Rich. Like, he made you feel like you were his best friend and you were the center of the universe. And he always left you with a smile. And I said this to somebody the other day. There are only two people in basketball that I've ever felt that way about, that just thinking about them brought a smile to your face. And the idea of seeing them really brought joy to you. And that's Bill Walton and Bill Raftery, you know, the two Bills of basketball, the two kindest, most generous souls you've ever met in your life. And Walton, I mean, I'm getting better with this, but I mean, I was tearing up talking about it on Monday. On an appearance I had on SportsCenter, and I didn't mind it, but it hit me, you know, how much he meant to me, not just as a colleague and friend over the last 20 years or so, but from when I was a kid, you know, like I was a Bill Walton guy first and foremost, and to be able to know him. And then to have him exceed every expectation you could have of an idol, what a joy!
Yeah. So the kid who showed up on the White Shadow—that's who was revering Bill Walton. That kid back in the day,
younger than that. I was probably 8 years old when he was at UCLA, and I had just started playing basketball. Mm. And everything he did, you know, cover Sports Illustrated, got drafted, you know, played when he played for the Clippers. You know, I followed his career. For me, my two favorite players growing up and college players were Bill Walton and David Myers, who passed away several years ago. Annie Myers, Drysdale's older brother. And those were my two favorite players. And both of them were better people than they were players, and they were truly great players.
Hey Jay, I know you've got some recreating to do, but if you just give me two more minutes with you being here, just to change up everything going on with the court cases and a settlement, it appears, between the NCAA and I guess the Jeffrey Kessler led class of players, I imagine. I might be botching it, but what is happening here, and what's your prediction as to what happens next, if you don't mind?
Well, a lot's going to depend on what Judge Claudia Wilkin does, the federal court judge out in California. So she has to approve this settlement. The settlement's basically in two parts. One of them, backward-looking damages for the harm that was caused by players due to the antitrust violations of the NCAA. And that's in the neighborhood of $2.8 billion payable over 10 years. The other is revenue sharing. That's the forward looking piece of this. And my understanding after reading what I've read is that players are going to be eligible to receive up to 22% of revenues going forward. That's a cap. And my question for the court when this settlement is presented is, what other cap is there? Whom else is subject to a wage cap other than players? Because coaches are going to be able to be paid as much as a school wants to pay them. And I don't think players should be capped absent some sort of collective bargaining agreement where the players agree to it. To me, it's not enough. And what's clear to me is the NCAA, through this settlement, is going to try to take this to Congress and say, here's a framework that we've agreed to with the plaintiff's lawyers and the plaintiffs and the class. We want you to put this into law so that they can cap all this at 22%. And that doesn't even mean that they have to pay anything to players if they don't want to. I think the market will dictate they have to. But a 22% cap, with the way revenues have exploded and are continuing to go up in college sports, to me, doesn't sit well with me. We'll see if it sits well with the players and whether their objections to this settlement and objections going forward. But one thing we know for sure, Rich, amateurism is dead. I think it was dead a long time ago, but they pulled the plug now. Players are going to be paid directly by their universities now, which was a long time coming. And that hopefully will mean contracts for the players, and they can put buyouts in them so the schools feel like they have some more protections. But amateurism is now dead. It's purely professional sports. And the only thing that differs from the NBA or the NFL is that the players have to be enrolled in school. That's it.
Jay, I appreciate the 2 cents there. Go hit them straight. And thanks for your time remembering Bill. It means a lot. Thanks.
In honor of Bill, I'm about to go low and high.
Very good. Thank you, Jay. Enjoy it, sir. Enjoy it. Thanks for the time. At Jay Billis, everybody check him out. Those photographs we just showed are part and parcel of everything we just discussed. How funny is that? John Wooden, he says, Coach K is to you what John amazing. Wooden was to me, except you weren't to Coach K what I was to John Wooden. Is really one of my favorite things I've heard in a while.
That is so disrespectful.
But accurate. But when it all comes down to it, spot on factual.
Yeah, but what he said, these kids, and because Chris, we're at a generation where, like, Bill Walton, at least for me, his prime was really before me. So I caught like his later Celtics years. It took a long time in YouTube for me to really do a deep dive to understand.
Yeah, I never saw Bill Walton play basketball.
I know.
It was all just reading about it.
You were born in 86.
History.
When were you born?
I was born in 80, but I didn't move to Maine until I was 12. So I never saw him play.
But like I said, I did a little deep YouTube, and that came out. And Bill Walton, like, people talk about Joker. Kind of similar skill set. Bill Walton, you could run your offense through him. Great court vision. He could pass. He could shoot. He played defense. He blocked shots. He was agile. He was a five-tool player, as they say. And I just don't think people understand. If his body hadn't failed him, he'd be, you know, top 10 centers of all time without question.
And then part of the 86 Celtics, 86, yep. 87 Celtics.
Yep.
Getting everybody into Dead concerts.
How about Rick Carlisle?
That story.
That was a great story.
Life.
Yeah, Rick Carlisle. Yeah, maybe we'll cut that up and play that by the end of the show.
Yeah, really,
I'll send it
really
to you guys.
Story.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Michael Kay has done yeoman's work, friend's work, which is getting into a car for an hour from deep Southern California to get here to hang with us for
Anaheim's
a good 2 seconds.
Anaheim's not close.
You gotta love
somebody
to do that, Rich.
Oh, no, he was south of Anaheim.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
you gotta love somebody to do that.
Even more not close.
Oh, the Yankees put him in a very nice hotel. Trust me.
Ah, interesting.
He's got a different basic cable world than the rest of us basic cable people. You know? So, they treat him like Soto.
Like, oh, I think
so. It means on a 1 year deal? Am
no,
I
no,
getting
no,
traded?
No, 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 no. What it means is he should be adopted. He should be adopted.
Oh, interesting.
He should
okay.
be, honestly, yeah, he, the Steinbrenner family should do the math of how much it would cost to keep him. What, six? Does it start with a six?
Yeah.
One of the things we'll talk about with
K.
Because if it starts with a seven with Ohtani, the pushback from the Yankees would be he's not pitching.
Well, neither is Ohtani.
Well, that starts next year.
He's never going to pitch again.
I think that's ridiculous.
I
think that is ridiculous. He's 1,000,000% going to pitch again.
He hit 70 points better.
So what?
Guess who stopped pitching? The Babe.
I understand that, but I think he's going to still pitch again.
I completely disagree.
Well, then don't you think the Dodgers would have to redo the deal?
Why?
Yeah, exactly.
He's worth it. He's the MVP. He's got a triple crown right now.
I hear you. But I don't know if that's because he's not pitching. Maybe it's just the way he's just beginning to hit better. I don't know. I think he's going to pitch again. But that said, don't throw me off just because the Red Sox beat the Orioles by one run last night. It's all good. Don't throw me off. The Yankees should figure out, what is it, start with a six?
Yeah, I would
okay.
think so.
And then just tell him, we would prefer to adopt you instead. How would you like to become part of the Steinbrenner family? We'll put you in the family trust.
What's that dowry?
Could be
like,
cheaper. Could
dowry.
Be cheaper.
Couple cows.
Could cost him less. How does Juan Steinbrenner sound to you?
Wait, are they going to take him in like the Eisen family's taking in Brock Purdy?
Juan Steinbrenner.
What is Juan
Steinbrenner?
That's the way the conversation should go.
That's really funny.
Juan Steinbrenner.
George's grandson.
There's Hal, and there's Juan.
I think I would take the $600 million.
In New York, you might want that last name.
Have you done the research?
I don't know. Soda's working well for him. But at any rate, Michael's here is basically what I'm saying. When we come back, there is a plan going down. There is a plan going down about completely redoing the off-season workout program from the National Football League.
We didn't hit on that yesterday.
Well, we're going to unpack this because I needed to do some looking into it.
Yeah.
Tom Pelissero sent me a whole string of texts to explain it to me.
Okay, great.
Because I want to unpack it in advance of Tony Khan walking in the door in hour number three. Michael Kay's in studio for hour number two. Don't go anywhere. We'll wrap up hour number one in a moment.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show. Hey, fill the grill and fire up the party, people. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone so you could put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is as hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. And guess what? You'll cook on two levels at the same time if you want. So you could make enough for everyone. You can add even a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Hey, folks, when I first started NFL Network back in 2003, there was a large chorus of complaints from a lot of National Football League players that the word voluntary was really the word for it was mandatory. That the only thing that was voluntary about any activities was for you to volunteer to say yes, to do it. And so when the National Football League and the players had that lockout in 2011, one of the things that the league said to the players, fine, you may have, maybe because it didn't really cost them any dollar and cent to say, was we will make the voluntary, and the mandatory is a date in April by which you show up for an off-season workout program. And then there will be some incentive-based stuff that's in the language and of your contracts in order for you to appear there if you want. You get more money for weighing in and doing things. But the only thing that is mandatory is a couple of organized team activities. The rest of them will be voluntary. By the way, OTAs, I always thought like that must not have stood for organized team activity, but that's what it stands for.
What did you think it stood
for? Well, you know, organized training, whatever the hell it was. I had no idea when I first started with NFL Network. Got organized it. Team activity. And that's the way it's been up until the present day, where the off-season workout programs start in April and players are not they don't have to be in the building. And as a matter of fact, you're not allowed to have contact with them in certain periods of the spring. And that playbooks, you can't really hand them a playbook and get them physically in the playbook until the off-season workout program begins in April. Because otherwise, coaches would want these players in the facility 24/7, 365. Yeah. So they had to codify it in this way.
Yep.
Now, according to my colleague Tom Pelissero of the NFL Media Group, I think he was the first to report this yesterday. If he wasn't, I apologize to the person who was. But the NFLPA is going to make a proposal this summer to take the current OTA system, condense it, and move it to before training camp in June. So one big ramp up to training camp to games in the fall. Meaning, I guess, May would be the fallow period where nothing's happening. This month where nothing would be happening.
Yeah, right now it's June.
Right. And that you'd be able to get, I guess, players on Zooms. Like, so as Pelissero said in my text, let's say players arrive June 16th. 2 weeks of strength and conditioning would be phase one. 2 weeks of light football work would be phase two. 2 weeks of non-padded practices like OTAs, they currently have, it's phase three. Then into a traditional training camp starting around August 1st, which is soonest anybody's in pads now. Anyway, they would do virtual classroom work in the spring, just nothing on the field, no workout program. And I'm like, you know, how is this any better? Yeah. He says the league and union science supports the single ramp up, less soft tissue injuries. They did it in 2020 for COVID. League people seem to be fine with it. Players need to vote on it. It's not finalized, still needs to pass votes by the union before it even goes to the league, but that's more or less what it would look like. Some vets oppose it.
So no playoff means basically February, March, April, May off?
Of on-field work.
But you would do Zoom,
I guess, playbook in the stuff? Same way in April or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So take the organized team activity on-field work of May and a little bit of June, condense it, and throw it towards the end of June. And so July would be nonstop in camp, which is exactly why I believe coaches will go nuts about this. And GMs.
Wanting it or not wanting it?
Not wanting it. Because this is when they go on vacation. The 2 weeks that they actually get to be away from stuff.
Yeah.
Because the spring, you know, as soon as the season's
evaluation.
Over, it's evaluation and getting ready for the combine and then for the draft. And then once the draft hits, you've got on-field work. And then once the on-field work hits, I guess
well, the
you
stuff.
Could remove what you'd move the dead period where you can go on vacation in May.
Would there be no rookie camp now and all that just gets lumped into June?
I imagine. I guess we're just all coming up with the idea here. But I honestly, like, coaches and GMs and front office people, they get married in July. Like, that's when weddings happen.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker.
Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a 3-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.